The horses were well-trained, faithful followers of Kamsa.
What verse number?
That was just 319.
Okay.
Okay, you go.
All the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, mounted their own carts, yoked large bulls, and quickly followed Akura. Akura brought Krishna to Lord Brahma's lake, offered him many kinds.
Oh, yes, this is one.
We read this. Yeah, offered him many kinds of prayers and counseled him with a continuous flow of logical arguments, in this way restoring him to an almost normal state. Commentary, Akura hoped that being at Brahmaharada, better known as Akura Tirtha, would remind Krishna of how Krishna had given the cowherds a vision of Vaikuntha, and that memory might further remind Krishna of one of the purposes for which he had descended to the earth to kill Kamsa.
Okay, one thing left over from the day before was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed here.
Yeah, at Akura Tirtha.
And did quite a walk from there all the way to Imlital, and Kaliyarada, a good hour walk there and back. Interesting place to stay. Very eventful place. Certainly, very strong Vipralamba. Because this is the place where he actually crossed out of Braj into Mathura district. Or Mathura township, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Mathura district. But
so you're thinking that's connected?
Why never read anything, but everything has a reason. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because first he went with this Krishna Das who did Braj Mandal Parikram with him, and then he stayed here in Vrindavan. So he had a choice of lots of places. He was in Radhakund. But of all places, he chose this, and you make a decision to do something, you do it for a reason. So he had a reason. Of course, he was Krishna coming back to Vrindavan also.
Can you explain that?
He was Krishna, right?
Yes.
And he just came back to Vrindavan.
Oh, I see. Oh, I got you. Okay. Somehow. Yeah.
The gopis didn't go there. It was the cowherd men who Krishna took there.
To Mathura.
That's why I remember.
To Akura Ghat.
To Akura Ghat.
Yeah, gopis didn't go.
Yeah.
They all stayed behind.
No doubt they heard about what was seen there. And anyway, the rest is speculation.
Next text. How the people of Raj then suffered is too painful to hear. Alas, alas, telling of this topic shatters even lightning bolts. I have said enough. Commentary. Those who hear about the misery the Rajavasis underwent after Krishna left them will endure the same misery. Therefore, in the company of those unprepared to suffer, this topic is best left undiscussed. Sri Parikshit said, Sarupa, having said this, his voice full of grief, loudly wept, dear mother. and overwhelmed by the ecstasy of pure love, he fainted. The excellent but shaken Brahman of Mathura cried for a moment, and then by trying this way and that, he brought Sarupa back to normal. Sarupa then continued to speak. Sri Sarupa said, Krishna went to Madhupuri, where he pleased all its residents. He killed Kamsa and his followers and delivered his own parents. Commentary. To avoid the risk of again losing control of himself, Sri Sarupa changed the subject. When Krishna first entered Mathura, he blessed many of its residents, including a tailor and a garland maker.
How's he changing the topic when he's talking about what Krishna is doing outside of Raj?
I guess he's changed the topic from leaving Raj, because that was once he's outside of Raj.
Sort of different.
Yeah. I think Gaura Govinda Maharaj describes the three different feelings of separation. The gopis were feeling anticipation of Krishna's leaving, while he's leaving, and then after he's left. There's different Sanskrit words for them. I can't remember them. But I can't even remember which was the most intense of them.
I can't remember. Everything's in the Dvalandi Lamani. Then?
He installed Ugrasena, Kamsa's father, as king, brought the Yadavas back from all directions, consoled the people of the city. The Yadus, who had no goal in life but Krishna, had suffered greatly and were terrified of the kings favored by Kamsa. Out of concern for those Yadus, the Lord, always compassionate to his devotees, stayed with them, with his elder brother. And to comfort his devotees in Gokula, he sent back Nanda and the other cowherd men. Commentary, Krishna is Bhaktivatsala, feels obliged to take care of anyone who takes exclusive shelter of him. Because Kamsa hated the Yadus, they suffered terrible persecution under his rule. Now Kamsa was dead, but Jarasandha and other powerful friends of Kamsa were still alive and could attack Mathura at any moment.
Yeah, Bhagavatam says how they either went to take shelter in other kingdoms, some of them went to live in caves. I guess those that didn't go very far away. And Krishna brought everybody back, sent the news.
Father, the Lord said, first you should quickly go home with the cowherds before any of Gokula's residents die in our absence.
Can you read a little louder?
Could I read a little bit louder? Yeah.
I didn't have my hearing aid, so I'm straining.
Okay.
Deva Rita Maharaj did that. Sometimes she would really up and then really quiet.
Father, the Lord said.
Okay, I got it.
First, you should quickly go home with the cowherds before any of Gokula's residents die in our absence. Commentary. Krishna cleverly argued that if Nanda Maharaj were to return home, the Vrajavasis might be pacified enough to at least stay alive. Next text. I will soon arrange for the happiness of these well-wishers of yours in Mathura, whose hearts are so distressed. Then I will come back to Vraj. Commentary. Nanda should have no doubt that Krishna will return home as soon as possible, because Krishna's heart always stays in Raj.
Hmm. Krishna says, Tvam Mitra. He says, your well-wishers, which just sort of emphasizes that actually these are your friends. I'm just sort of doing something on your behalf.
Yeah.
Just to mitigate the pain of separation and strengthen his argument.
I was just reading something today. It's not so directly connected, but it is somewhat. Oh, let's see if I can find it. It's sort of like an explanation how Krishna simultaneously satisfies everyone, so nobody perceives or in any way senses that they're being placed in a secondary or tertiary position in relationship to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and this is a description of Vaikuntha, what to speak of Goloka.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, excuse me, it's a description of Dwarka. Dwarka. Mm-hmm. What do I think? When the one personality of Godhead simultaneously eats the items brought to him by thousands of wives. Each wife sees that she has fed him first and that the only offering he is eating is hers. Commentary. This is a good example of the mysterious nature of the Supreme Lord's pastimes, an example taken from his loving dealings with his beloved consorts. The phenomenon described in this verse occurs both in Vrindavan with the gopis, headed by Sri Radha, and in Dwarka with the queens, headed by Sri Rukmini. In both abodes, Krishna is sometimes fed at the same time by thousands of beloveds, each of whom sees him accept only her offerings. All of them are absolutely devoted to him, and so he does not want to disappoint any of them by being especially attentive to each one individually. He expertly increases the stimulus for their love. He does this factually, not by some illusory trick. Best examples of the wonderful ways the Lord receives service from his potencies are found in the pastimes of Sri Krishna, in which both his opulence and his sweetness are fully displayed. A little more.
Okay, but it brings up something we talked about earlier. Okay, in Dwarka, it's clear. 16,108 queens, 16,108 palaces. He's expanded himself into them all. And
he's the same
I would
person.
Imagine that the queens know that because they consider him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they know that there's 16,108 of them. And that there's that many palaces, and that he's in each of the palaces. But in Braj, there's no mention of 16,108. Krishna's with them in the Kunjas, or Nandagrams, or Varshanas. It's always one place.
And one place with unlimited.
Well, they're not unlimited. It's, we read Vilap Kusumanjali, and it's one place where this one Manjari is dressing Radharani. Or where you've got this group Raktak and a few servants addressing Krishna. There's no millions of servants doing that. Just,
where's everybody else?
That's the question. That's the question. And Dwarka, yeah, fine. 16,108. At least it's a larger number, but in Vrindavan, the descriptions is always singular. Where is everybody else? The people of Nandagram. Nandagram is not a city of billions of people, or Barshana. There's, you know, it's a town. It's not even a mathura. Where is everyone else? And no doubt, Krishna is with everyone else.
One of the things I keep on coming up again and again as I'm reading is how inconceivable. That point is made, especially when Narada Muni is describing, you know, the Vaikuntha regions to Gopakumara. It makes the point very clear. And Gopakumara is also saying it to the Mathura Brahmin. I can describe to you what Narada told me, but I was there and I saw it, but you have not there. You have not been there and you haven't seen it, so there's no way even I can fully describe it, what to speak of you being able to understand it.
Yeah, because Krishna manifests this Aishwarya Shakti to Narada, and so he went into each and every palace, it says in Krishna book.
Yeah.
Well, how did he do that, you know?
But even today I was reading something, it was just so, you know, all the forms that are assumed by the residents of Vaikuntha, they all have... They assume these different forms,
yeah,
to facilitate Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah, strange animals,
strange
demons,
animals, monkeys, demons, yeah, insects, worms.
Yeah.
And as I was reading it, I was like, and not only that, but then Sanatana Goswami explains in the commentary that they're given suitable bodies according to the meditation of their desire to serve in a particular way in Vaikuntha. But who does, you know...
Who wants to be a worm?
Yeah.
But it seems like they do that as a... They have their swaroop, but, you know, if they got some idea...
You mean once they... Yeah, but the implication that was there is this... It was a meditation they had before.
But my understanding was, is it was a meditation they had in Vaikuntha.
They have
their forearm forms,
because
it also starts off saying everyone's got forearm
forms.
And then they take, from there, they take all kinds of other different forms to please the Lord.
Except they don't accept a form which is the Lord's form. And his different incarnations, avatars. But they do accept forms of different demigods and other personalities, but not those forms of the Lord.
So it's inconceivable. For me, it was just a little hint, this, you know, how Prabhupada had supervised the painting in India of First Canto, Volume 1. And it has this picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nam Sankirtan on the left. And then it's got Krishna and the gopis. It's got Radha Krishna in the middle. And then it's got, I don't know if it's Krishna and the gopis or Uddhava and the gopis. But then there's another two, I think, Krishna and the gopis besides that. There's Radha Krishna, then there's two Krishna and the gopis sitting down.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
What's the point? that
simultaneously many things are going on.
In Goloka. And there are some who are simultaneously in both places, or two places.
Yeah.
Two leelas.
Yeah. So this, I don't know, Chandravali cooking for Krishna, her sweets, you know, going to Krishna, her eating Krishna's sweets. It's there. Govinda Lilamrita, Mahavakya, no one talks about these things. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, it's always Radharani's cooking. Radharani's sweets get taken over. They come back and get the remnants. Only here, Sanatana Goswami is very, has this picture of, you know, different groups of gopis there together and doing service together in the bedroom and kitchen. That's quite novel. But yeah, it's so inconceivable. It would be good to know. Same thing, Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Everything is, of course, that's our line, is Radha-based, and we don't see things through Chandravali's group or anybody else, or Shaibya's group, or Dhanishtha's group, or that's our lineage.
Mr. Raghunath Das Goswami, especially, that pastime when he was given the a cup from Chandravali's Kunja. Really rejected it.
So.
Yeah. Anyways, it popped into my mind. I just wanted to read it.
Shrinanda Vacha.
Go ahead.
Shrinanda said, "Before I came here, I declared to the Brajbasis that I could never believe that you are someone else's son, nor ever believe that you could abandon such friends as them and live elsewhere." Text. "Therefore, please save us. Save us. Don't ever, ever, for any reason, send us away from you. Wherever you might go by your sweet will, oh, there may we also go with you." But they don't go. They stay in Vrindavan. They don't move to Mathura. They don't move to Dwarka. They stay in Vrindavan and suffer.
And reason?
They can't believe Vrindavan.
It could also be that because Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan?
No, the pleasure of separation is actually greater.
So, when we say that Krishna never leaves, and the residents are obviously feeling the separation of Krishna's, what's it called? It's the highest type of separation. There's prema vaichitya, there's man, what's the last one?
Pravas.
Pravas. Kinshit sandura pravas. Yeah. Pravas. When Krishna goes to Mathura.
Pravas.
Yeah. But if Krishna never leaves, where is he?
That's uppercut. Now that he's an uppercut, and the residents of Vrindavan, they are both in prakat and uppercut. And in Prakat, Krishna has left Vasudeva Krishna. But the residents of Vrindavan, their forms in Prakat is oblivious to what the uppercut is. So Krishna is present in his uppercut form. Prabhupada calls it his bhava expansion. But those two features of the Brajbasis don't know what the other's doing.
For those who are in Prakat and those who are in uppercut.
So Nanda Maharaj is in Prakat and he's also in uppercut.
Yes.
Because Krishna's not there alone. He's just not camped out in Vrindavan by himself.
That's clear.
Yeah, they're there. And then it's...
But there's also feeling, what Sanatana Goswami describes, they're feeling separation. They see Krishna going to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and he does it again and again. And then but they have no concept of past or future. And they think it's a dream.
Well, that's Goloka.
In Goloka, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Goloka.
Yeah.
But they're still feeling separation.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely feeling separation. They're feeling separation. And in that separation, then they will actually enter into Prakat, where they will meet with Krishna, and they will see him, because it's so intense. But they'll also think that that's a dream. How fast in Goloka Krishna comes and goes? Anyway, this is Goloka. We'll see. But he stays some time. Obviously, it's not like here on... Here.
Yeah, where time is linear.
Yeah. Well, even here, he doesn't come back. He just keeps going. But here, he actually just comes back. So he says, the Brijbasis and your mother still live and breathe only because I gave them hope. If I were to turn so hard-hearted as to go back without you, O Father, surely they would die on the spot. He calls him Father. Commentary. All the people of Braj trusted Nanda when he gave his word that he would not come back without Krishna. To violate that word would be to sentence them all to death. Desperate to change Krishna's mind, Nanda tries to reawaken Krishna's family's sentiments and the memory of his pure mother, and curiously reverses roles with Krishna by calling him Father. Sridham said, when you display your glories by grazing the cows in the pastures, dear Lord, and you are hidden behind trees or creepers for but a moment, we cannot bear to live. How then can we possibly stay without you for a long time? Shisarup said, as the Lord heard these complaints from his devotees, he stood in silence. Then Vasudev, the son of Surasen, spoke up, afraid that the Lord might decide to go to Braj. Sri Vasudev said, Brother Nanda, surely your son and his elder brother can be happy in all respects only by living there in Braj. They will suffer nothing but distress anywhere else. So that's sort of a clear statement of what said why they don't leave. But now is the time for them to be initiated. They should go as brahmacharis to another place to study, and afterwards they can return to Braj. Commentary. As the Dharma Shastras prescribe, son of Vaishnavas, at the age of 11, should undergo the Upanayan Samskara, acceptance of the sacred thread by initiation. Balaram and Krishna, Vasudev, suggests are not exceptions. They too should be sent to the Gurukula of a learned Brahmin to study the Vedas. They should stay neither in Mathura nor at home in Vrindavan with their parents. But until the Upanayan ceremony is arranged, Balaram and Krishna can safely stay with Vasudev while they finish their business in Mathura. Sri Sarup said, when Nanda saw that Krishna disagreed with his words and agreed with those of Vasudev, Nanda departed, crying in distress. Commentary. Only because Nanda was confident that Krishna couldn't stay away from home without his father, was Nanda willing to leave. Surely Krishna would decide at the last minute to come back with him to Braj. Lord Krishna, along with the princes of the Yadava dynasty, followed Nanda, the king of cowherds. The cowherd men, one after another, embraced Krishna by the neck, and Krishna cried profusely, and so did they. Vasudeva and the other Yadavas, all astute, saw that Krishna was overwrought, wanting to go, and with many arguments they coaxed him back. Commentary. It seemed that Nanda was right. Krishna wanted to go home with him. But the Yadavas implored Krishna not to go, arguing that he was needed in Mathura to save them from great catastrophes, not least of which was the threat of invasion by Jarasandha. And they persisted in putting forward their reasons until Krishna agreed to stay. Next. Obeying Krishna's desire, Nanda and the other cowherd men went back to Braj. And when the Brajbasis heard that he had arrived, they all came out to greet him full of joy. Commentary. Only because Krishna asked the cowherds to return did they take the unimaginable step of going home without him. Krishna's desire was the only force that could move them to do such a thing. Even the carts went down the road by their own force without being driven by Krishna's desire. The devotees that had stayed in Braj also lived only according to Krishna's desire. Naturally, then, they assumed that Krishna was with Nanda, and they greeted Nanda joyfully. Interesting that these carts are moving by Krishna's desires. And that the bulls are reluctant to leave Krishna, and this cart is moving along, nudging them with the Brajbasis in them, to keep moving, because otherwise they may not go. So the carts went down the road by their own force without being driven by Krishna's desire. So the carts were actually, otherwise. Nanda, however, overcome with sorrow and shame, covered his face with
his... Is that implied that the carts are also personalities?
Everything spiritual. Now, what that means is very interesting, because there are different levels of spiritual here. Some are more conscious, some are less. Does that mean everyone's equally Krishna conscious? Well, they're not. The answer is no, because there's already so many lists of different levels of Krishna conscious. Gopis, gopas, and so on. So even the love that everyone has, even the different rasas are of different intensity. So what happens when you get out of the human strata, and then more or less it's just shantaras mixed with other things? And so what's the level of Krishna consciousness of a cart? And why did someone want to become a cart? Or did they become a cart as a result of...
wanting to assist in that way, serve in that way?
No, they may have not wanted to serve that way. They may have just attained a certain position, I don't know, like Putana. Putana became, and that's a good example, Putana became a nurse. But Vishwanath explains that she is bhavless. She doesn't actually have symptoms of prema because she was so inimical. So Krishna gave her the position of a nurse, but she's without prema in Goloka.
How do you exist in Goloka without prema?
Well, she does. She may have other things. She may have bhava. Although it seemed, you'd have to read again, but in Aho Sarandarenu Jisham Maham Sham, I think in the commentary there, third canto, but it may be actually in the commentary on Putana's demise. I think probably it's more there. And it's in Navaraja Mahima.
That she had no bhava.
She doesn't have bhava. So, if things like that happen, however that is, but if things like that happen to demons, and Krishna can actually take to go to his own planet, Goloka, demons, then demons or others who, I don't know, you know, it says that all of the living entities in Boma Vrindavan go back to Godhead when they die. So what does a germ do to go back to Godhead? And and what does he become when he goes back to Godhead? Certainly wouldn't be just if we're struggling here to no end and germs get the same result as we do. That's what Uttara was arguing with that.
That was their question. How is it possible they get that same destination?
They may get the same destination because that's the power of Braj, but what are they when they get there, and what are they given in terms of a relationship? And there are, everything is, there's Chintamani, there's Kalpa Vriksha, there's all kind of manners of animals.
Not even Japuri, it's Kalpa Vriksha.
Bees and birds, you know. He's maybe a special tree. Really have to dig in to look at that. I'm not seeing, usually concentration is not on those species. Sanatana Goswami is the one who actually is mentioning that devotees take forms to please the Lord.
He's speaking about Vaikuntha.
In Vaikuntha, we don't read the same there.
So
we end up with more question marks.
Yeah. Especially when you consider that the abode of Goloka is beyond Vaikuntha. And then when you hear these descriptions, I mean, I was reading today the descriptions of Vaikuntha, and it was just astounding.
Yeah.
The varieties of life, pure devotion. For devotional service and manifest in so many forms and features in Vaikuntha. And then you think, if that's how it is in Vaikuntha, then Goloka must be something higher. So then, because In Vaikuntha, it's described, it's a conscious service to accept those forms to Krishna. It's a conscious service to serve Krishna in that way. So, of course, we understand also in Goloka there's no Shantaras, or at least...
There's no... Well, there is. There is pure Shantaras. There are yogis who are meditating Krishna in the caves.
Who achieve Shantaras, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't interact. I mean, those who interact, they have, yeah, something else mixed with Shantaras. But even going back to Vaikuntha, there are devotees who take the form of worms. But separate from that, are there living entities in Vaikuntha who are always worms? Some devotees may take the form of trees, but are there others who are like always trees? This is what those can do who have generally got a regular four-armed form, and they can take any form to please the Lord. But they don't necessarily stay in that form. So, you know, there's other bees. Some may take the form of a bee to please the Lord, but then there's others who are always bees, even in Vaikuntha. The bees are humming in Vaikuntha.
And who've never fallen.
The bees who never fall. Or I don't know, or the bees who fell, who knows? But in either case, what level of consciousness do they have in that body?
Oh, seem pretty... emphatic that there's no living being that exists who doesn't have the consciousness of serving the Lord according to their particular, and the word that's used is rasa in Dwarka, in Vaikuntha.
And if Putana is devoid of bhav, she's devoid of rasa. If you remind me, I'll look it up. It's in
from Vishwanath Chakravarti.
It's in Vishwanath Tika. Quite sure it's Vishwanath. If not him, then it's Jiva. Let's just read this. Nanda, however, overcome with sorrow and shame, covered his face with his cloth and went home. There he lay on the ground and cried, supremely miserable. Commentary. Bereft of Krishna, Nanda had good reason to feel sorrowful, and having broken his promise not to return without Krishna, good reason to feel ashamed. The Vrijvasis, not seeing their Lord, were beside themselves with distress, confused about what to do, and sick with foreboding and apprehension. Their faces withered. They heard no news from the elder cowherds about their Lord, and they couldn't bring themselves to ask. Commentary. Since no one told the Vrijvasis that Kamsa was dead, they were still afraid that he might do to Krishna. Nanda was silent about what had happened to Krishna in Mathura, and they feared what they might be told if they were to ask. Text. Krishna's mother cried, "Alas, alas, alas!" And the other women cried out too, all in great pain. How can one speak about the state they were in? Oh, alas, oh, alas. Sri Parikshit said, "Dear mother, that best of young cowherds, Sarup, then again grew utterly confused as he contemplated what had happened in Braj. His heart burned in a fire of sorrow." The most excellent Brahmin carefully brought Sarup somewhat back to normal, and Sarup, fearful of becoming confused again, spoke no further details on that topic. Commentary. The mature Brahmin, just to bring his guru back to external consciousness, called out to him, touched his feet, and sprinkled him with water. Hare Krishna. Such are the things to do if one's guru exhibits ecstasy.